Well, a tradition on this show is to go back east during the holidays, Memorial Day, July 4th, of course, opening day and Labor Day, and they're the great markers of the season. And we talked to one of the great baseball people, and that is Paul White, formerly of USA Today and inaugurated the great Sports Weekly years ago. And Paul, nice to have you with us. How are you?
Great. Happy Memorial Day.
Yeah, and I talked a little bit about it as, you know, baseball has always been part of the culture of America. And really, and you're in Washington, and are they doing anything special in the Nats on Memorial Day? Do they commemorate it in any special way?
Well, yeah, nothing probably that would stand out differently than most ballparks. They save their big one for the 4th of July here. They now have a tradition of playing an 11 a.m. game on July 4th because so much else goes on downtown around the National Mall the rest of the day. So they play the game early, and people spill out for all the fireworks and all the celebrations. But Memorial Day is pretty much a little more solemn, probably. You know, there's stuff going on all over the area, Arlington Cemetery and the rest. And Nets probably, it doesn't stick out, I don't think, really, for most other ballparks.
Well, baseball and the Department of the Army and the Defense Department and even the President of the United States have always had to negotiate with them around baseball and World War One, World War Two, and everything else. They wanted to shut it down. And yep. Baseball got that famous green light letter from President Roosevelt that said, nope, we need baseball. It's good for the morale of the country, and all the workers can go and see games, and we want it. But it's had a big part of American culture, especially in your area. There's a lot of negotiating that had to go on and a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. The old Fox, Clark Griffith, sort of saved baseball in the beginning of World War II.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of funny. You know, even people in this area, because it's such a transient area, a lot of people don't quite get the history of baseball in Washington, because for most people alive now, they spent most of their life with no Major League Baseball in Washington, D.C. You know, from the time the current Rangers moved out until the Expos moved here, you know, you're talking close to 40 years, and you know, that's a lot of very young people grew up without it, and you know, they don't get the Senators. They don't understand what happened. The Nationals have tried to do a good job. Where most clubs have retired numbers, et cetera, in their ballparks. The Nats have a sort of a ring of honor that lists all the Hall of Famers who played with the Expos, every version, both versions of the Senators, and even the Homestead Grays who played here.
Wow, very good, very good. Well, speaking of the Nationals, first of all, crazy stuff in New York over the weekend. Get your comments on that. But with Dusty Baker and the Nationals, we haven't seen them yet. Giants haven't played the Nationals yet. They haven't played the Pirates yet, the Cardinals yet. There's still a whole American League East ahead for the Giants as well. But the Nationals are on that horizon. And Dusty Baker, I guess it's night and day, really, from last year.
Yeah, it is. It's really changed the clubhouse. You know, the people around the Nationals, veteran players and coaches, for the last couple of years have talked about something missing in the Nationals clubhouse. A couple of guys have commented to me, we miss having guys on our bench like Mark DeRosa, who they had a few years ago, those kind of influences in the clubhouse. And it's been a real fractured clubhouse. I don't want to say really ugly, but there's been no pizzazz, there's no energy, no camaraderie, and usually a manager can't change that. As you know, and people around the Giants know, Dusty Baker is one of the rare exceptions. He can change that, and players believe that. I think that's half of it. When Dusty's coming in, players all talk, and they say, yeah, this is a guy that will change things. And he really has. It's a different clubhouse. It's not perfect, but it's a lot better. And I think it's been good for some of the key players here. We're in the past, you know, and Ian Desmond doesn't stay, Jordan Zimmerman doesn't stay. And I think it's partially because of what the culture was becoming like. But now they're excited. I think it's huge for Bryce Harper because Dusty's going to let him be himself. And I don't think there's any pressure. I don't think there's that tension. You know, Matt Williams was wound so tight, and there was a lot of tension around. And I don't think he tried to make it that way. It was just his personality. And Dusty just made a huge, huge difference. And he's still Dusty. He got his 1,700th victory as a manager the other night, and somebody asked him about his style, and he says, "Sometimes I go by the numbers, sometimes I go by what I feel, and sometimes I go on what I hope."
He's great. I love him. He's a great guy to cover, and we enjoyed him out here. Paul White with us.
One spring when he was still managing the Reds, I asked if I could be stationed halfway between Port Charlotte and Sarasota in Florida because I could just shuttle between Dusty Baker and Joe Madden.
Very good. And he gets great fruit also. They bring him stuff all the time. That was the best part, being out here.
By the way, he's about 30 or so wins behind Bosch on the active manager victory list. And according to Dusty, he's got 150 more. He says, "Those years people wouldn't hire me, I'm counting them."
Very good. All right, Paul White with us. Paul, of course, formerly of USA Today and Sports Weekly. Paul, let's talk about the Nationals a little bit and the race in the East with the Mets. Strasburg is just out of sight. Maybe the best pitcher right now. Well, I guess Arrieta and Kershaw and Cueto and Bumgarner and Samardzija have something to say about it. But Strasburg, just about every time out, pretty much untouchable. Scherzer, every time I see it, 7 innings, 3 hits, 4 runs, and the guy ends up losing. Gio's getting tagged a little bit, right. Roark and Joe Ross. How good is this national team?
You know, that's a great question around here. Nobody can quite figure it out. The Nationals have taken a little heat that they beat up on bad teams the first part of the season. When they played the Cubs have just trashed them. And now the Cardinals, they've lost 2 out of 3 so far in the series that finishes up today. You know, a lot of people are saying you haven't proven anything because you're not beating good teams. And they're pretty much even with the Mets head-to-head so far. But the other side of that is you talk about the pitching, and it's been inconsistent. But the hitting's been even less consistent. The hitting's been really, if you go up and down the averages, it's awful. They should be much, much better offensively, individual players. For all the noise about Harper and long home runs and big hits, his average has been sinking like a rock for a month. And, you know, Ryan Zimmerman had a good game last night when they were way behind, but he's had all kinds of struggles. And you look at the batting averages there. They didn't have a leadoff hitter. Ben Revere was out for a long time. He's just getting back and getting going. So the feeling is this is a much better offensive team than they've shown so far. So maybe the record is kind of a wash. They beat up on bad teams, but they'll probably end up being a better team as we go forward.
Well, let's look at Kershaw, Arrieta, Syndergaard, Cueto. Who's the front runner here for Cy Young in this league? Strasburg, put him in there too.
Clayton Kershaw is still the best pitcher out there. I mean, you know, I love Jake Arrieta. And, you know, he goes on these incredible streaks. And then, like most humans, he has a normal game or two. Kershaw never seems to do that, at least during the regular season. We'll talk about the playoffs another time. But, you know, now with the Mets, you line all their guys up, with the exception of Harvey, who's just, you know, nobody can figure out what's going on with him. But the rest of their guys are in that mix. And now, yeah, the way Cueto has stepped up. I mean, this has been a huge show-me year for Johnny Cueto. Mm. There are a lot of people when he went through the going over to Kansas City and, you know, can he really handle the bright lights and, you know, being put in that situation, the big guy with all the pressure on. And there were questions about it, but he stepped right up. So I think that thing, I mean, you know, pitching is going to win. In baseball now. Pitching, whoever has the deepest staff is going to win down the stretch. And that means for all these great starting pitchers, whoever can pitch in the 6th and the 7th and the 8th innings is probably going to win divisions.
Yeah, boy, I looked at it this morning. If you look at starters, innings pitched and ERA in the National League, the first 6 are the first 6 teams that are going to be in the playoffs, I'll tell you that. And that's the way it usually ends up, and that's the way it is early on. Paul, has separation happened in the National League, at least in the East? New York and Washington, can we assume the other 3? Of course, Atlanta, we assume that. But Philly and Miami, maybe .500 type teams at best?
Yeah, I think so. I think Philly is a great little story. Pete McCannon, you know, a baseball lifer, always seemed to be somebody's interim manager, finally gets a job, and he's got some great young talent. They turned that roster over in a hurry. You know, Ruben Amaro used to say that it was impossible to rebuild there. Well, they're doing it, and they're doing it well. But, yeah, they're a long way away. And if you look at things like run differential, this is smoke and mirrors that they've done as well as they have. But they've got good young pitching, like, you know, and that's how you build. But, yeah, they're a 500 team. I don't think the Marlins are even that good. You know, and I think we're going to, you know, the East and the Central both, I think, are that way. And what it may come down to in these races is who can just totally beat up on the weak sisters in their division, you know. And you can win the Central if you could go, like, 36-2 against the Brewers and the Reds. And, you know, I think that's what's going to happen. Who can just beat up on the Braves and Marlins and Phillies in the East as you go down the stretch? And I think that goes back to pitching, because those teams are not going to hit high-quality pitching, and the Mets might be a little deeper with that.
Well, Paul White with us. Great analysis, Paul. Giants are kind of doing that to the Padres right now, and 9-0, and that's the way the old Yankees.
You got
to
do it. Yeah,
they used to just murder the weak teams. And Chicago and Pittsburgh in the Central. What about St. Louis? Are they haves or have-nots, or where are they?
They're right on the edge, I think. You know, it's a testament to the St. Louis Cardinals organization that this is their version of a rebuild. They might miss the playoffs, and that's kind of where they are. You know, I saw them the other night here. Even they're a little concerned. They have depth issues. They have pitching depth issues. It's very tenuous. You know, they need Wainwright to be really good. They got to get Michael Wacha straightened up. The younger guys have been very inconsistent. Martinez, and they've got some concerns in their bullpen. So they're kind of retooling on the pitching side. They're retooling a little bit on the offensive side. They're phasing Matt Holliday out gradually over this year and the next year or so. They're trying to figure out which of their younger outfielders are going to be everyday guys like Steven Piscotty and Randall Grichuk. And they're kind of all figuring that out. Now, that still might be enough for them to sneak into a wild card. You know, the key is where are the two wild cards? It's been the two in the Central for the last couple of years. I mean, now it looks like you got at least one team in the East that's going to be a wild card contender, and one, I don't know, is there a second one in the West? Maybe, but right now, you know, Giants, Dodgers, and, you know, maybe the Diamondbacks could get it together, but they've been a real disappointment.
Yeah, and, you know, as we're talking, it's a 15-team league, the National League, and there's a lot of separation. Is there, maybe St. Louis is the answer to this question, but is there one team they say, all right, you know, look, we love the story of baseball. We can't wait for August for the run, you know, that championship run. All of a sudden, the team comes out of nowhere. They start pitching. They bring up a kid from the minor leagues. They make a trade. Is there one team in this league that can do that, or is it just the six and the other nine? They're just fighting it out.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't look like there's one. And even St. Louis, the last few years we've talked about, hey, they can make moves because they got this great farm system, and they do. But they're starting to use that system just to populate the Major League roster. And it's working, but they don't have the depth anymore to go out and make those deals. They can spend money, but money doesn't really talk on the 1st of August. You can't go buy a player as much as you have to have prospects to make that trade that you're looking to do. So they may have to get very creative. I mean, they'll be aggressive, and they'll look for a way to do it. The Nationals are a team that, if they're falling a little bit short, again, will they go into their farm system? They've got some fabulous prospects. I mean, but we may see some of them soon. Trey Turner, the young shortstop, people have been talking since opening day. When's he coming? When's he coming? And the Nationals have been very quiet about it. You know, so I don't see a team that we don't consider an obvious contender right now in the National League jumping up like that. The American League might be a different story. There's a lot more balance, but there just doesn't seem to be that team in the NL.
Yeah, I agree. You bring up the American League and of Jackie Bradley. What a great story this week, wasn't it? The 29-game hitting streak, and now Bogaerts is in 21.
Yeah, and you know what? Mookie Betts might be the best of all of them. those young kids. They're a great team. I remember seeing them last year. They were playing Toronto, and you know, the Red Sox were struggling. It was late in the season, and John Gibbons, the Blue Jays manager, said, "I don't like playing this team. This is the most athletic team in our league. They scare the heck out of me, and they're just going to get better." And we're starting to see that. And they've got some more really good prospects coming. You know, there's a team that's kind of in that position. They can kind of do anything they want, and they may. They may have to figure out how to make their pitching staff deeper, maybe not so much to get in the playoffs, but to be successful in the playoffs. You know, because a lot of the stuff we've been talking about here, we talk about these teams that, you know, you can get to the playoffs by beating up on all the bad teams. Problem is you're not going to play them in October, and it's a whole different game.
Boy, very good. Boy, very good. All right, it's a pleasure to have you on Memorial Day. I think Boston right now looks to be the best team in the American League, but I think the American League on Memorial Day, I don't think we know yet who's who. I think that National League, I think we're starting to see who's who, and it's not much different than what we thought when it started, although Arizona and the Cardinals and the Dodgers, I think, are weaker than we anticipated. But in the American League, heck, you look at the East, the Central, or the West, just about anything can happen. So I think that's where the big story is going to come this summer.
Yeah, I think we're starting to see a few teams in the American League emerge a little bit. You're right. Boston looks very, very good. I think Baltimore is a little smoke and mirrors like they've been for a couple of years, but Buck Showalter seems to find a way. I think Cleveland's emerging. Cleveland could be a really interesting team with pitching that could get better. And I think we can finally believe in Seattle, at least as a contender. We'll see how far they get, but that's going to be a tough division, and I don't think Houston's going to get it turned around right away. So that may just be Seattle against Texas.
Wow. All right, very good. Paul, great to have you on, and, of course, we love having you on in the holidays and any other time. Always give a good report, and looking forward to talking with you as the season goes on, so enjoy it.
Anytime, Marty.
All right, that's Paul White. He put together Sports Weekly and a lot of USA Today sports coverage. Paul White, more coming up right here on the Sports Leader.